This is CliffCentral.com.
This putt for birdie, and to take the trophy as the new champion. And you still haven't booked that jumping castle for your daughter's birthday tomorrow. 15 yards from the hole should break from left to right. And just imagine the disappointment as your daughter realizes you've let her down in spectacular fashion.
Address those pressing issues fast. Access yellowpages.co.za from your mobile, tablet or via the app. Now with free call, bookings, quotations and detailed maps. Yellow Pages. Local reliable results in an instant.
This leadership platform, SME part of it, all small, medium enterprise conversation. And this following business conversation will be brought to you, is brought to you by Trudon, the publisher of the Yellow Pages and proud supporter of small business in South Africa.
Into the last few seconds of the game, piling in 2 meters from the line. Ball comes out and it's a massive hit as you realize your wife's been asking you to fix the dripping tap since last weekend. Skips first center, into the half gap, and it's still drip, 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 and here comes your angry wife, buddy.
Address those pressing issues fast. Access yellowpages.co.za from your mobile, tablet or via the app. Now with free call, bookings, quotations and detailed maps. Yellow Pages. Local reliable results in an instant.
This is Leadership Platform, your SME conversation, SME leadership conversation, and we are so excited to be with you. Richard Angers in the studio, and how are you, Richard?
And how are you doing?
No, really good. And then, of course, our very special guest is Myron Zadel, the co-founder with his family of Soviet Jeans, and it's a big brand. We just had a fantastic conversation. So if you're listening to this podcast, do download the leadership one, which is just before this one. And there's no doubt that you'll learn a great deal. I think we could have discussed issues in greater detail. Last week, we discussed biggest mistakes sales reps make and how to avoid them yourself. So I think also a great conversation. Download that podcast and enjoy it. Before we get into our chat, it is Women's Month, so we're trying to pull a couple of women onto the show as well, some really fantastic women, in fact. We have Catherine Constantinidis on the line. She's going to share an inspirational thought with us before we continue the conversation with Myron. Catherine, welcome.
Thank you so much. Great to chat to you.
Yeah, you're just all over, Catherine. Gosh, so it's so good to have you with us. Do you have an inspirational thought? Maybe it's also Women's Month, and it's right at the end of it, isn't it? It's the 31st of August. Share with us a thought.
I think being the last day of Women's Month, it's really, really important to continue reflecting on gender issues, women's issues, and to ensure that we constantly keep this conversation going. I think we do disservice to the issue and the subject when we stop discussing it outside of 5th August. So I think that, for me, that's really very key as we end off our official Women's Month for 2015. And I think that we really have a lot of things that we need to do as a country, and we really need to continue moving forward to look at gender equality. That's really very, very key. However, outside of that, my thought for today and my inspirational message is discipline is just choosing between what you want now and what you want most. And I think when you're in a small business, when you're a startup, SMEs sort of along across the board, I think it's always easy to go with what you can attain now. And sort of we need to have the discipline to understand what the long-term goal is and how we're going to move forward to achieve that, without taking the quick wins that don't achieve the same success and don't allow us to move in the direction we need to go in. So really, it's really very, very key for me. And choosing between what you want now versus what you want most is really something that's food for thought for us and something that everyone should think about.
That's a really good thought. So you would say discipline is choosing what you want most rather than what you want now.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so you've got to know what you want most, don't you, in the future. That why did I start this business originally? It's for A, B, and C reason. So when those what I want nows come to us, then we have to just remind ourselves of what we want most.
Absolutely. It's reflecting on why you started. And I think sometimes we get lost in the mundane operational side of things and we forget that, but I think that's really critical.
So that's a great thought, and I'll ask the panel for their comments on it. Thank you so much, Catherine, for sharing that with us. It's a good start.
Thank you so much. Wonderful to chat to you.
Bye-bye. Have a good Monday further. All right. So what do you think of that? Myron, I mean, you've gone through it all. There are times in small business life where you just start doing well, and you can actually do some things, enjoy some things that you never did. But if you had to sit back and say, well, hold on, what do I want most? Do I want this now, or is there something I want most? Your view on that advice?
My view is that all self-immediate satisfaction comes at a cost. As long as you've got your long-term plans or your medium to long-term plans, and you understand that life is not a matter of take, 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 there's a lot of sacrifice in order to be successful. So I think forget about the things that give you self-gratification on the short-term basis. Rather focus on the long-term and achieve your objectives long-term, because short-term you can lose it that way.
Yeah, but also you have to enjoy the journey, you know. So, some people are so frugal and so tight on that in terms of what they want most one day. Yes, wise counsel. That they don't smell the roses now. They don't go away now. They don't travel maybe with their family. They wait until they're retired, and then they don't have the health that they wanted. So that balance, I think, is a good one. Richard, your comment on it.
I always think of the principle of, you know, mortgaging the future. You know, and people often say, oh, well, I don't have the money, I don't have the time. I mean, how often do you hear of business owners who say, I just don't have the time to spend now with my children? And then, you know, they wake up a number of years down the track, they don't even know who their children are sometimes, because they just don't even have a relationship with them. And, you know, it's pretty difficult to get into a, you know, let's play ball game with your 25-year-old son. So, you know, sometimes you've just got to realize that you've got to grab the bull by the horns and spend the quality time and do the quality things that make a difference. And, yeah, it's about relationships. It's not about what and how big and how glamorous. It's about relationships that, that stand the test of time.
I didn't just mention, though, that the self-gratification that Marna spoke about is not necessarily equated with that of doing those things that you just spoke about. It's to learn to enjoy that which is of value as well. Self-gratification is a selfish, ego-driven thing that really doesn't build any kind of foundation.
Quite true. There's a fine balance there, but there's a difference.
I meant to mention balance, because balance is most important. So really, I mean, some people use these, I wouldn't call it an attribute, resources, to illustrate to the world that they've arrived or they've achieved, and honestly, it's all things. It's not reality. Whereas when I'm talking about give up self gratification, I'm not talking about not balancing. I'm talking about using your resources resourcefully, and building a future with it. Because I mean, you know, even saving the benefits of compound interest are immeasurable.
Yeah, there's just no perfect answer, is there? But there's some good principles that can guide us. Were you able to before? I mean, Richard organized you. I'm so grateful as our guest today, and before he's no doubt got some questions. He analyzed our previous show, although this show stands on its own feet. Were you able to keep a balance in your life as you built Soviet Jeans? I mean, that's a big brand. It's hard work. Retail is 7 days a week these days. Were you able to keep that balance?
I tried my very best to keep a balance, but I must confess that there were stages that we'd work 45 days on the trot without, and that was in the early stages. Because that was because it was cheaper to do it ourselves than to employ people. If we employ people, there was a cost involved. Whereas if we had to produce from Monday to Friday and pick orders on Saturday and Sunday and go out and deliver ourselves on Monday, we didn't require those personnel to do it. And that money that we saved dropped to the bottom line and enabled us to be resourceful, create resources, because what were we looking for? Really, we were looking for return on investment.
And I'm not sure our younger current generation are all willing to make that sort of sacrifice. And perhaps they feel they don't have to with modern day technology and the way business runs these days. But there's a balance. It's somewhere in the middle of the truth.
It's a balance.
You know, the truth is somewhere between the crazy working hours and the sacrifice and the effort that you put in, and the attitude of the modern day generation who say, no, I'm not going to put all that in to achieve. I'm going to just be cleverer about it. But yeah, we've got a great guest in the studio. Richard Angus, go for it. I mean...
Yeah, I think, you know, just Audrey, picking up on your comment there, I think often people think, or youth of today think, that they start off where their parents left off. And that's often a sad reality. You know, I want to start my life driving the BM3 series and living in a nice townhouse in a very exclusive area or an estate or whatever. And I think to myself, hold on a second here. What's wrong with this picture?
Good point.
But Myron, getting to that point and kind of picking up where your parents left off, I mean, your world started with your father and his engagement in the textile industry. Really? Just for the listeners, so that they can get a little bit of a picture of you and your early life. Give us a little bit of a 2 or 3 minute background in terms of where you started. I know you've talked about it a bit on the previous show, but just for those that are joining us now.
Well, I must mention most of my education came from UOL. I don't know whether you know that university. It's called University of Life. It's by experience. And, of course, what my late father showed me, and a lot of it is what I would call common sense, to apply common sense wherever you can.
So let me understand. You don't have an MBA. You have an MBO.
Yes.
Mind-blowingly obvious things that you figured out in life.
Absolutely. And really, education is a shortcut or a shorter cut to wherever you might get to. But experience, there's no substitute for experience because, I mean, even if you note the academics, the practicality is not exactly like the academics, and you've got to understand the difference between the two and be able to maneuver between those things.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're governed by the book.
And I think there's an important, what you're saying there is important for entrepreneurs out there and listeners on the show, is that when we have talked in the past of making sure you get the right advice from the right people and getting professional advice on various elements, but don't discount the fact that experience does count. I mean, we've seen it in our business in the finance team. We bring experienced financial people to the table. And people often say to me, you know, so why the big focus on experience, you know? And I look at them and I laugh and I go, well, I'd rather have the person working with me that's been around the block 6 times than the guy who's just trying to find his way around there with the GPS.
100%.
And that's the reality of life. And you've clearly had that experience, that experience does count. And as entrepreneurs, don't discount the person that you can bring to your team that perhaps comes in an advisory capacity or in, you know, as a mentor, as a coach. Don't reject those people out of hand, because they're the ones that actually have been there, done it, and maybe you've got a brighter way to do it. You're the new kid on the block, but it pays to listen to the ideas and the thoughts that they have.
Richard, Lee? Just mentioned, Martin mentioned a very important thing. Every business has a culture. Mm-hmm. Some of us want to jump into entrepreneurship without understanding the culture. For instance, if you ask me to open a fruit and vegetable shop, I'll say it's crazy. I don't understand that culture. Work 16 hours a day, etc. Myron was inducted by his father. And now the same thing applies, Richard. Why your point so important? If you want to learn the culture, learn from experience.
Yeah.
If you haven't been blessed with the background you've got, Myron. Boy, entrepreneurship is about culture as well.
Yeah. So, Myron, you spent a lot of time, obviously, learning and understanding the textile industry from your father. Then what happened in your world? Talk us through those early days.
The early days was, unfortunately, at a very young age, I had intentions of going to university, like all young boys at that stage. And I did go, actually, to Technikon to do pharmacy, which I didn't enjoy one bit. Mm-hmm. But I went, and then
sometimes it's important to learn very quickly what you don't like doing.
It was very quick. It was not even 3 months, and then I landed up working in my dad's factory on a temporary basis until the following year came around to go into an accountancy course at Wits. And unfortunately, in about September of that year, he took ill. He had a rather bad heart attack, and I was at that stage just turned 19, because I'd finished my military training, turned 19. I had one brother at university, 2 brothers still at school, 1 sister librarian, and another brother on the road selling. And there was a family to look after. So now that's what you do. I mean, you're there. It's not a choice. It's you're there. You're the breadwinner now. You make the decisions. You deal with the world as the world comes your way. And that was a very, very good learning experience, and it made me strong. It made me understand things. Because being a young boy out of school, I must say lots of customers thought maybe, you know, they can take advantage of you.
Yeah.
And being taken advantage of didn't work well with me. And that actually made me see things that, you know, there's always an alternate. This is the way it is, but it is not the way it has to be. Mm. We can affect change and make change and be effective in our change. And lots of things happened on the way that caused that.
Mm. Now, okay, you were into the textile industry. Then along comes this question that, you engaged in a brand change with the Soviet brand. Mm-hmm. What was the thinking at the time? Why did that happen? Just talk us through that, because that was you had a textile business, and the next minute you were going, let's do the Soviet brand thing, the brand build.
There's always a catalyst, and there's always an adversity that causes change. So mm-hmm. we're making trousers, not making money on making trousers, mm-hmm. employing lots of people, dealing with the biggest retailers in South Africa, who were the governors of how much margin we were entitled to.
And the dictator customer.
The dictator customers. And really, it was not working. Came to a stage, it worked in the beginning. As time went by and we got bigger and we employed more people and we invested in more infrastructure, so the business became more difficult and less profitable. And it was either go bust by natural causes, mm-hmm. going to liquidation, or change, or get out and go and do something else. Mm. And the choice was, we know the clothing industry. Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll do look at what other products are available to manufacture in an underserviced part of the clothing industry and try our hand at that. And okay. that was the best option and was the right option, as it so turned out.
Okay. So talk us through some of every, let's call it, cataclysmic event of that nature in a business always comes with its what I call the war stories. The things that happened, the stories that, you know, have kind of been etched in time and will be passed down generation to generation, mm-hmm. to say, do you remember back when we started Soviet, we did this, this, and this. Tell us some of those war stories, that come to mind.
The real catalyst was one of my best salesmen came to me. He said he's been offered a position in a competitive company. It was a public company as a director and a shareholder. And what can I do about it? Being a family business, it's difficult to acquiesce and give or let go of shareholding. I advised him to take the opportunity because I shouldn't stand in his way. As a result of that, shortly after he left us, he went and offered better prices than what we were offering it.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt that was, well, that's his way of getting the business. And my way is, well, do I have to do what I was doing? I don't have to do what I was doing. Maybe there's something better. And that was the catalyst for change. I even went as far as telling this major customer of ours, the one particularly, we no longer do business with him. We stopped because they were wanting us to deliver stuff virtually at cost or below.
Yeah.
And that was really the so-called catastrophe that caused the change.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, one day I saw the merchandise director of that particular company and I thanked him gracefully. I said, thank you for doing what you did, because that allowed me to get on with what I'm doing now.
Yeah. You didn't feel that way at the time, no doubt, but I mean, that was the turning point. It's amazing. You know, at the time, you probably went home that night thinking, oh, what the heck did I do now? but it was a turning point. It was positive in the end, eh?
It was positive, but I mean, all apparent setbacks were actually not truthfully setbacks.
Correct.
They are set rights. You're not doing something right. Something's gone wrong. Mm. Look at it in another direction, another way, and make the change. Mm. Don't sit and hanker after the past. The past is the past. That's history. What's going to be in the future is depending what you do today.
Mm. I've often heard people say, or the saying of, you know, it's an opportunity to rethink.
Okay? Absolutely.
And just respond differently. And I think often that rethink and that change is often just so scary to people, because you've just got your thinking right. You know, you kind of, in the world of the entrepreneur, there's so many things happening and so much change and things you're having to deal with. Having to do some of those fundamental rethinks sometimes takes a lot of energy. And as an entrepreneur, you kind of go, actually, I'm not sure I want to invest the energy right now in doing something, you know, at a tangent to where we are now. But sometimes it has to happen, and it's just what you do, and it's forced upon you, and
you have to do it.
You have to deal with it and decide how you respond, And yeah, in some cases, the appropriate response and a solid response. And yeah, unfortunately, it is often the time when some businesses choose not to respond properly, and then they go out of business. And we all know what those statistics look like, unfortunately.
If you hadn't done that, if you hadn't shifted to the Soviet Jeans brand, you would have...
lost my business.
I mean, you would have been out of business many years ago, eh?
Absolutely. No doubt.
Amazing, eh?
But also one of the true characteristics or traits of a proper entrepreneur is the appetite for risk.
Yeah.
Not uncalculated, as I've said earlier, but it's actually an intelligent assessment of what the risk is.
Yeah.
And you have to be courageous because, I mean, if you're just going to be like everybody else and hedge your bets all the time, you're actually not going to do anything different. You're going to do it the same as everybody else is doing it because you know that's working for them. But it's not the way to make progress. You have to be different. You have to have courage.
Yeah. And I think the Soviet brand was definitely something that was different and new and fresh, and
you spoke
earlier about, you know, your kind of approach of ambush marketing and kind of, I guess, similar to where Nando's has been historically with some of their branding. If I'm not mistaken, I think you said Hunt Scarist did some work with you.
Correct.
That's their kind of that thinking and their approach at the time. I think the reality is you created something out of nothing.
Absolutely.
And I think that for me is a real important lesson that entrepreneurs out there, don't think you can't make a difference. Don't think you can't build a brand. I mean, you know, people will turn around and say, there's all these big brands in the world. We could never be a whatever. Reality, you can. You just have to have a mindset and a vision that allows you to become that. To be the talking point and the brand that sits on everybody's butt.
pretty cool, yeah.
Very proud of that.
What I'm interested in, though, is not the brand, that's a result.
It's a result of
it. It's what went into it, that attributes that Richard mentioned now, etc. The passion, the fighting ability, the courage, etc. The brand is a result, or else they never got to that brand because the brand itself was very challenging. At the time, the New South Africa, yes, we accept that the point, but still, so it's the attributes that went into it before, the creative thinking, the willing to face change, and also there's excitement to that, which I appreciate immensely.
Yeah. Before we look at the things you remember and that you can share with our SMEs, Richard, let's not assume that our SMEs out there understand ambush marketing. You mentioned it very quickly. You guys, quickly tell us how you did that. Is that where you came with a Soviet name in 92? Is that what you mean by ambush marketing?
Well, you know, when I talk about ambush marketing, it's using events and environment, you know, things that are happening in the environment.
Capitalize on them.
Now, I mean, at the time...
It was topical.
It was extremely topical. And, you know...
Communism, Russia,
the ANC link.
SACP.
Yeah, and, you know, to go out there and say, I wear a pair of jeans made by Soviet was like, I'm out there making a statement. I think it was, you know, it's a brilliant way to allow your customer base who wants to be, and I mean, I guess you were appealing to a customer base that said, we're not normal, we're not usual, we're the unusual, we're the alternate. And that allows you to position your product, it allows you to charge a price for your product, it really makes you different and unique. Because the reality is a pair of jeans is a pair of jeans. We all know that.
100%.
And this allow, you know, it wasn't the jeans that made it special. It was the fact that you were willing to wear the label and challenge the status quo.
Okay.
And that's the ambush.
So what's important is in the strategic document, we perceive the personality for the product. So even though the product is inanimate, it had to elicit certain feelings from the consumer and the wearer, because it's like anything else. You buy a Porsche, you buy whatever you buy, it returns something to you. You feel whatever you feel, but there's a payback for that premium that you're paying because you feel something about it.
Yeah. Now, Myron, perhaps, you know, what are if I was to say the 3, 4, 5 things that, you know, you've now had a wealth of knowledge and experience pass your way. What are the things that you kind of wish and say, wow, okay, great. If I'd known that as a 20-year-old running with the business, or as a 25-year-old, 30-year-old, whatever it may have been, if I had known then what I know now, I would have done things slightly differently, and it would have made a difference in my life. And I'd like you to share that with people out there so that they can learn from those learnings.
So the first thing that I'd like to say is that to have a regretful life and look back and say if is not productive. It's actually counterproductive.
Yeah.
So as I don't know, maybe you call me an entrepreneur. I feel that I'm a rainmaker, if you want to call it whatever you like. I don't look backwards, I look forwards.
Okay.
Okay, so regrets I don't have, I call them experiences.
Yep.
Either good or bad, they're experiences, and they have no consequence in who I am right now or what I'm going to do in the future. So that's most important to see. So if you ask me, would I have done things differently? No, because every action and every reaction, it was a learning experience.
Yeah.
And learning is a lifelong pursuit. It doesn't stop. It should never stop. Even you don't retire, you retire from and you retire to. So you move on, you just don't vegetate. You've got to find a purpose. And as you said in the earlier program, purpose, what is my purpose? And you have to be active and proactive. You can't sit around and wait for things to happen.
Okay, now I buy that.
I hope I've answered your question.
No, I absolutely buy that. In a way, the question that Richard asks, you almost don't want to stop people from learning lessons that only the knocks of life can teach you. But you're talking to the 20-year-old. I remember sitting with Gary Player and saying, talk to the 20-year-old Gary Player.
Yeah.
What would you tell him? And he said, patience. You know, just be more patient. People have lost patience. And so you're talking to the 20-year-old Myron.
I'll tell you the same
story. What are you going
to tell him? I'll tell you something, that success is maybe one day away from when you've given up. So in other words, you knock, and you think it's never going to come right, and it's not going to come right, and what you're doing isn't right, but you might just be that one day away from the barrier and the breakthrough. And I think you have to be patient, and you have to be persistent, and you have to keep on knocking. Don't ever give up. Don't give up.
And Myron, I know from having chatted to you before the show, I think there was one thing that you did with Soviet, and in fact it was that the end of your relationship with Soviet that I think is quite important. And I'm going to ask you to just share this with our listeners, because when you got to a point where the business had progressed to where it was, you were faced with an interesting dilemma. Somebody approached you about the business, and you had to make a decision about whether you held or whether you disposed of your interest in Soviet. Do you want to share with us exactly what happened there and how you handled that?
The story is as follows. We, amongst our model, we had franchising, licensing, etc., etc. We as a business never did boys' wear in any meaningful way. Another company that was importing unbranded clothing and selling large quantities, container loads, to the big groups came along and asked, could they do boys' wear under license? This was in about February, March of that particular year. We entered into an arrangement with them that would give them a license to do boys' wear. They came out 2 months later with their collection, and a further 2 months later, they'd already achieved 20 million rands worth of sales in no time, which we weren't doing at all. They then came to us and they said they'd like to buy the brand because they saw that with a small amount of 20 million, they made almost as much as they were making with 200 million on unbranded merchandise. So, all right, they asked how much we wanted for it. I thought about it. I worked it out. I went back to them with a figure. They said, that's fine. Now they need to pay for it. So obviously the normal protocol is you ask for a price, you negotiate payment terms, a deposit or post payments, and you want guarantees for your money. Otherwise, you might never get your money. As much as they tried, not because they didn't have the money, the funders don't give money without equal or more collateral. So they expressed that to me. They've been to see this bank. They went to other banks, and they're having difficulty. I said, okay, I'll tell you what I'll do for you. I will sell you the brand at the price we agreed upon. They asked for terms to pay for it. They asked for 3 years. So we'll make quarterly payments. We'll charge interest on the payments. And my security will be, when you make the final payment, we'll transfer ownership of the brand. Until the final payment is made 3 years ago, the brand remains mine. if you should default on the way, the brand reverts to me.
Mm.
And they accepted that. They were absolutely religious and on time with their payments. And it worked out well. And without making that compromise, the deal wouldn't have been consummated.
So I think the learning there is the principles of compromise gets you places.
Yeah, powerful.
Powerful.
Yo, Myron, it's great having you in the studio. Your just practical advice to SMEs towards the end of the show, what would you say to them? And you do work with SMEs at the moment, so it's not like you're out of touch at all.
Well, I'd say firstly, any businessman, if you're going to be like the rest of everybody else and not deliver anything that's different, you're never going to be different and you're always going to be measured on pricing.
Hmm.
More important than pricing in most cases is the service that you provide. Your honesty, your reliability, that you don't impair the progress of your customer's business or his need for your products.
Hmm.
It's most important. I mean, you know, we all measure everything in terms of, are we competitive? How competitive are we? Can we be more competitive? Margin is very, very important.
Mm.
It's not margin for nothing. It's margin for error. Error meaning giving credit to the wrong people, not having having operating expenses that are not manageable. You need margin and you need to make that in order to make the business successful.
Myron Zadel, one of the co-founders of Soviet Jeans. The brand is going strong. You've gone through the whole cycle. I mean, it's just a life very interesting. Rebrandings, re-engineering, changing, building, selling the business, and here you are giving back again. Thank you for joining us in the studio.
Thank you for having me. Have a good day.
Richard, what did we take home? 30 seconds. I mean, so much.
Yeah, so much. But I think for me, some of those principles that Myron's talked about, dare to be different. I think that's quite clear. Mm. Dare to change. Mm. And dare to compromise, I think, is an important one, because often for entrepreneurs, it's a case of my way or the highway from some people, and it's our way ultimately gets you the combined effect and an end result.
I like the ambush thing. Look at your environment now and see what you can leverage. In South Africa, a lot of transformation elements. How do you leverage it? How do you leverage triple BEE? How do you leverage all the changes in our society? That is very important. Anyway, this conversation was brought to you by Trudon. Visit trudonhome.co.za for all your small business marketing needs. Trudon, it's our business to grow your business.
This putt for birdie and to take the trophy as the new champion. And you still haven't booked that jumping castle for your daughter's birthday tomorrow. 15 yards from the hole should break from left to right. And just imagine the disappointment as your daughter realizes you've let her down in spectacular fashion.
Address those pressing issues fast. Access yellowpages.co.za from your mobile, tablet, or via the app. Now with free call, bookings, quotations, and detailed maps. Yellow Pages. Local reliable results in an instant.
This is CliffCentral.com.